Hello and welcome to the 645 Pod. This is a podcast to help encourage the members of the 645 community at Christchurch, but also for anyone who listens along, we hope it's really encouraging for you as well. My name's Simon. I'm a ministry apprentice here at Christchurch, and part of my job is looking after the 645 community. And every week, I'm also joined by...
I'm Anton. I'm the minister for 645 at Christchurch St. Ives.
And this is season two of the 645 Pod. And this season, we're looking at the idea of what it means to live for God. So living for God in all these different kind of really practical aspects of our life and how faith interacts with that. This week, we are looking at the topic of friendship, which I'm really excited to dig into. It's a subject I'm pretty passionate about, So hopefully this will be a really great episode.
So we're kicking off our look on friendship and how we live for God with our friendships. First, we thought, well, it's nice to have a friend, and so let's head to that segment.
Yeah.
We thought we'd call a friend, and someone who's a friend of both of ours is Josh Haywood.
Yeah. We can have a chat and we'll see his thoughts on friendship. It's the most appropriate time to use this segment in an episode, really.
Yes. So why don't you give him a call, Simon?
Yep. Okay. Well, hello, Josh.
Hello.
Welcome to the 645 Pod.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah. You're in It's Nice to Have a Friend segment.
Great song.
Yeah, it is a great song, and hopefully it'll be a great segment.
I pray so.
So we're talking about friendship today in this episode.
Yep.
What are some of your thoughts on friendship? Maybe first, how has friends in ISO been? Friendship and isolation?
It's been real hard.
Yep.
I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that a lot of my friendships have just really, really struggled in the time when we're not allowed to see each other in person and things like that. I think a lot... Like a key part of friendship is intentionality and, really working hard at seeing people and asking questions and things like that. And that's just hard to do. There's no way to replicate is the word I was looking for. There's no way to replicate proper good quality time with someone when you're locked in your room. And even then, it's just very hard. So I think... the last few months have been really hard for some of my friendships, especially some of my good friends back in Wollongong. I just haven't been able to see them. I haven't been able to spend that time with them. And that's been really hard for me personally. Yeah.
And so then you were just talking about like intentionality is really important in friendship. What are maybe some things you've observed and thought about? Like, I think you're someone who appreciates friendship and is quite intentional about it.
I love friends.
Yeah. So what do you think are some things you've kind of learned about friendship?
I think, intentionality would be the word that I pick. I hear people sometimes not complain, but sort of they're sad about maybe their lack of friends. And I think that's fair. We are created to be in relationship with one another, and we are saved into, I guess, the body of Christ, God's family. We're made to relate to one another and to have these deep friendships. And it's really sad when that doesn't happen. But I think a key part of friendship is being intentional about investing in others. When I think about my own friendship with my best mate, Johnny, it took a while for us to be good friends. Johnny had just moved to Wollongong from Newcastle for uni. And I was sort of knew him. He was sort of this guy that I sort of knew.
Yeah.
But I was like, nope, I'm going to be good friends with this man. So we spent a lot of time together. We like did church together. We hung out together. We had coffee. We went for surfs. Like we did things together and made sure that we were really regular in that and intentional in that. And Johnny is someone who I really respect for investing in me in that he asks me really hard questions.
Yeah.
Not like, where does the universe come from? That kind of, like, I don't know, rocket science level questions, but like, actually, how are you going with battling with this sin in your life? How are you going with sharing the gospel with this person?
Yeah.
And his vulnerability in that is something that I really appreciated and reciprocated and have now sort of taken that to other friendships now. Yeah. So I think being really intentional about who to spend time with and when, and it's very hard. And yeah. I don't know, something I've been reflecting on in the last few years, I think, as I've gone from having lots of time and lots of friends and being like, yeah, I can have a coffee with 100 people this week. And like,
yeah, different people.
Yeah. I think like, I don't know, I used to have that goal and I used to be able to pull it off. I had so much energy and time, but now that I'm working, it's a lot harder. Mm. I can't do that. My circle of friends realistically has to get a little smaller so that I can, like I said, be intentional about being friends with a few people.
Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. So it kind of, it takes intentionality and investment on your part. Like you guys take the initiative to invest in those friendships. You can't expect them to just
They don't just happen. They don't just happen. Friendship, it's a two-way street. It's something that you've got to work for.
Yeah.
And it'll be awkward sometimes and it'll be hard sometimes and that's okay.
Nice. Andrew and I are going to chat a little bit about like maybe the biblical side of what kind of framework the Bible has for looking at friendship. But maybe next week we're talking about singleness and something that I've really appreciated about you is you're quite thoughtful about how you are a good friend as someone who's in a relationship to someone, me, who is not in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on how you can be a good friend to someone who's single when you are not?
Yeah, sure. I think friendship is something that is so beautiful and important, and that when I was single, which was up until last year, had sort of really struggled with and really found refuge in, I think, my friendships. And so I've really appreciated in the past people who were dating that really sought to, as a couple and individually, look after me and care for me.
Yeah.
And so people would, when they go away for a day trip, invite me along. And that was something that was really special and made me feel really thankful. And so when Claire and I started dating, we both wanted to be really, once again, intentional about how to be caring for, the single people that are in our lives. We don't want to be hanging out all the time by ourselves and no one else because of so many reasons. But we want to, make sure that, I don't know, as we sort of plan our weeks, making sure that there's a good amount of time with Claire and I and you, or Claire and I and Claire's school friends, or Claire and I and my friends. Like that kind of thing. Just really making sure that we're not just sort of isolated in our relationship, but once again being really intentional about spending time with people together.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for coming on, Josh.
My pleasure.
I'm thankful for our friendship and I'm glad we could have you on to have a chat about that.
Wahoo. Thanks everyone. Go listen to the Christchurch Youth Podcast, which is the original Christchurch podcast founded by Josh.
Well, possibly the original. he recorded the first episode. I still think I had the idea first.
There's also already a Christchurch Youth Podcast from Hayden's days. But anyway,
Yay.
You can cut some of this out if you want, or you could leave it, in which case it would be candid, like the Christchurch Youth Podcast.
All right. Well, on that note, whether this is cut or not, let's move on to the rest of the podcast.
Woo! Bye, everyone. Got him.
All right, good to hear from our friend Josh. But as we think about friendship, what are your thoughts on what friendship is like these days, Simon?
Yeah, I think friendship's a bit of a weird one, I think, in our culture now. It's kind of something that has morphed into something that's a very casual, loose kind of thing. Like we don't really have strong ideas on what friendship looks like, I think. And I think we kind of have an image of friendship as being something that's very loose and undefined and entirely about what is good for me, you know, what people make me feel good, what people I enjoy hanging around. And we don't really have a very robust kind of view of what friendship looks like and could be.
Yeah, and it's varied as well. So you have on one hand, you know, thousands or hundreds of Facebook friends who, you know, you may scroll past every now and again to some really close friends that, you know, maybe you've grown up with or been at school with or something or developed over the years, and everything in the middle as well.
Yeah.
So it's a broad category and getting broader.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you're saying with the internet and all that sort of thing, we kind of have this really big casual friendship base. Like, we can have a lot of people maybe in the past you probably qualify as acquaintances rather than someone you think is a friend, but, you know, your Facebook friends. So we kind of call everybody friends. So we have this, a lot of really casual things. I think maybe Paul Tripp calls it, we are in a society of terminally casual relationships. So there's kind of a lot of breadth, but not necessarily a lot of depth.
Yeah, that's right.
See, and so I think, you know, on top of this casual idea of friendship, that's been kind of increased by a real sexualization of intimacy in our culture. I think we're in a very sex obsessed and romance obsessed culture. And so friendship is kind of a weird neither of those things, but can be important in relationships. And so we kind of don't necessarily have a category for a really close, intimate, non-sexual relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think societally, we are left a little bit confused about where friendship sits.
Yeah. Did you grow up watching Sesame Street at all?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember a few years ago, Ernie and Bert, you know, two guys living in the same apartment.
Yeah.
There was a call for them to come out as gay, for example, you know, to come out as having a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
And for me, that was just really sad in terms of thinking about friendship because here's two people who you know, are close friends. And so if they're that close, they have to be gay, you know, kind of, they have to be sexual.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that just devalues what friendship can be.
Yeah. And it's a real trope generally in media of, like, you know, people in TV shows will be really close friends and all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, this is now confusing. And then they end up being a couple, or like, they just, it's pretty common in media to go portray intimacy and then go, oh, this is intimacy, so it must be sexual, so their relationship must be sexual.
Yeah.
And so we kind of don't have a place for non-sexual intimacy, and that's really sad.
Yeah.
And really unhealthy as well. It puts so much pressure on relationships and that sort of thing. And so thinking about friendship and what it can look like and reclaiming intimacy as something that's not just sexual will be really helpful for our lives, our friendships, and actually faith, because friendship and faith are really important in the Bible.
That's right. Yeah. We don't get an extended analysis of friendship in the Bible. Mm. And the words used for friends in the Bible in the original languages, they range from the kind of casual friend to the really close relationship as well.
Mm.
But we certainly get some really helpful pointers to what friendship can be and how to live for God in our friendships. So, you know, we both had a look at some of the Bible passages. Simon, why don't you kick off? What have you found?
Yeah, I think one of the books that does deal the most explicitly with friendship is probably Proverbs. It's kind of in the background of a lot of things in the Bible, and we see examples of friendship, but not necessarily teaching on it. There's a guy who has written this amazing book. I think it was in the 1900s on friendship. And he said, the book of Proverbs might almost be called a treatise on friendship. There's no book, even in classical literature, which so exalts the idea of friendship and is so anxious to have it truly valued and carefully kept.
Who's that author?
Hugh Black is him. It's a great book on friendship that he's written. And so if you look through Proverbs, there's a lot of Proverbs that are kind of about friendship and relationships. And so, you know,
both the positive and negative.
And, you know, the impact that the wrong kind of friends can have, but the positive impact that good friends can have.
Yeah. What's your favorite friendship proverb, Simon?
Oh, there's a few. This one's a good one. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel.
There's a couple like that in terms of a friend is someone who you can trust to kind of say the hard thing.
Yeah.
So I found Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
Yeah.
And so a friend, you know, a true friend will be able to say, hey, that's, you know, pull your head in or something like that.
Yeah. So friends can be really helpful for giving you good advice and really helpful, particularly for Christians, to kind of point out ways that you're failing to live godly and to be someone who loves you enough to give you a rebuke, which is a really hard thing to do. We don't like rebuking, but Proverbs is really big that close friends are really important for that relationship.
It speaks to the one element of friendship is the reciprocity within that relationship. You know, I give something to you as a friend and you give something back to me. And that's not always going to be equal by any means, but there's that natural exchange of either rebukes or, fun times or encouragements. And that's part of the nature of what goes on there.
And, there's the super famous one that fits into that as well. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Mm. You know, that refining nature of friendship.
Yep, that's right. And another last one for me, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times.
Mm.
So it's not, there's the idea of fair weather friends, you know, things are going well, or if you're wealthy and got lots to share, then you may have lots of friends around you.
Yeah.
But, a true friend will love through the hard times as well, will keep loving you.
Yeah. And I think that one really speaks against the kind of casual nature of friendship and the self-focused nature of friendship that we often have in our society. Whereas, that picture of Proverbs friendship is more like someone who sticks around and sticks with you even when it's hard, who will say hard things and be with you through hard times and stick with you. And that's really a really beautiful picture of friendship that we don't necessarily have an image of in our society as much.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that trust in a friendship. There's that exchange or reciprocity in a friendship. Let's talk about the intimacy within friendships. Now, again, there's lots of different levels of friendship. So this may not be every friend that you have, but there is at least an example of this friendship in the Bible of a really intimate, non-sexual friendship, particularly in the story of David, King David, and Jonathan.
Yeah.
So Jonathan was son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. But then when the Lord's favor changed from Saul to David, then Saul was really angry. But Jonathan, Saul's son, and David, the new anointed king in waiting, they became kind of soulmates in friendship.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful picture of kind of that adversity that we're talking about before. Your dad is kind of my mortal enemy and is trying to kill me. So it's a real extreme version of friendship in adversity, but it's a really beautiful picture of friendship. They they make vows to each other to be looking out for each other.
Yep.
And it's just a really rich picture of what friendship can look like. There's a depth to that you don't really see often. And the kind of a deep love, I think it says it was greater than the love of a woman or something like that, has a level of closeness that is, that once again, people try and sexualize.
That's right. And what it leads to is Jonathan in particular acknowledging the place of David as the Lord's anointed king. And so part of his friendship is recognizing who David is and agreeing with that. A key thing about friendship is having at least some baseline agreements of morality and about what's important in life. And, not everything needs to be the same by any means.
Yeah.
You and I are friends and we've got lots of different things, personality traits that come out.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of other examples as well in the Bible, I think, of beautiful, deep friendships and relationships. There's also Ruth and Naomi. Now, that's a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. I think that's a beautiful example of reliance on friendship.
Go for it.
I think that's another beautiful example of that closeness of relationship. It may have a defined category that Naomi doesn't think needs to be there anymore. She says, Ruth, go back to your homeland. And Ruth goes, no, I'm going to come with you and I will stick with you, and says that beautiful vow.
I guess the complication there is that's also a family relationship.
Yeah.
So there's another bond, but still they're acting as friends.
And Jesus and John is another great example of friends. The disciple Jesus loved is how he's kind of referred to, and you can kind of see that there's a unique, special relationship between Jesus and John, that he's really close to John.
Yeah, that's interesting because obviously Jesus had 12 disciples, but three of them, one of them being John, are kind of his inner circle.
Yeah.
And so even with Jesus, there's nuance and variation with his friends.
Yeah.
And of course, Jesus is, the meme goes, what's the most, Jesus' greatest miracle was having 12 friends by the age of 30 kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is totally, which is totally my experience as well. So when I was in my late teens and early 20s, then I had plenty of friends, plenty of people around me at church or at work or at uni or other things. I led on Crusader study camp. So, there's kind of friends everywhere. But then later on in life, that can shift, and you lose friends, you gain other friends from different contexts, and your circles can shrink as well. And so even if friendship's coming naturally now, it's something that if you work on, then you'll be better at the fewer friendships that you may have later on in life.
Yeah, and I think that's something you see is like friendship actually takes work. You know, sometimes it can be easy. We can have friendships in circumstance. And when you're younger, like you're saying, it kind of takes less work. But as you get older, you realize that actually, like every kind of relationship, it actually takes effort to invest in and engage in. And you can't just take that for granted. And you kind of see Jesus actively kind of include that the three is kind of his really close confidants, and then have his miraculously 12 close disciples. Yeah. And there's another friendship that I think is worth bringing up as well. In Paul and Timothy, I think that's an interesting other type of friendship to look at. You know, they're kind of friends and brothers and fellow workers in Christ. Mm-hmm. So they, Paul is kind of Timothy's mentor, but you can really tell there's a real depth and closeness in that relationship.
And affection, yeah.
Yeah. And Paul kind of is quite fatherly, kind of describes him in that way. And you can see that's another beautiful example of friendship of those working together in the gospel as another beautiful aspect of friendship with Christian brothers and sisters, that we kind of can strive together for that goal.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else in particular to what the Bible says about how to live for God in friendship, Simon?
I think it's important to recognize, like Proverbs talks about being careful who you're friends with. And so having close Christian brothers and sisters is really helpful for you in your walk and your faith. We were talking about the Proverbs idea of being able to rebuke and sticking in adversity. And those things are really important for us as we're Christians, as we go through our Christian walk. We need to have people who we can be accountable to, who can help us in our struggles with sin. And sometimes they're not things that you don't want to share with everyone, and there can be quite private struggles, but it's really important to have those close friends who can be with you, who can, you know, say those hard things, who can keep you accountable, who can encourage you to strive onwards in your faith and pray with you when you're struggling. You see that as kind of an image of the whole body of believers, but I think there is a kind of a closeness that you can't have with a whole church, especially at 6:45.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the importance of friendship as Christians, I think you can't really, we can easily underestimate that, but it actually has a really big impact on us.
Yeah, and we need to be thoughtful here, because often, 6:45 can be seen as clicky and people just stick with their friendship circles. And I kind of get that. But in terms of how we operate as a church, Jesus kind of expands the view of who you love. So in the ancient world, people loved their family and loved their friends, and that was kind of it. Whereas Jesus goes, no, actually love your enemies, or love the weak, or love the stranger. And so as we operate as God's people, if we just showed love and concern for those who are in our friendship circle, then we're falling short of how Jesus calls us to live for God. And we're not going to be the people of God and this loving Jesus-shaped community that God calls us to be. So in all this, we can't just have a focus on our friends, but go, okay, who else can I love? They may not be my friends.
Yeah.
They may not become a friend. You never know.
Yeah.
But I'm still called to look outside my friendships and love them. But there's still certainly a focus on, no, you do right by your friends. They're going to be the ones to call you out when you're doing the wrong, doing something silly, or to encourage you when you're down.
Yeah.
But the Bible also warns about the danger of friendships as well. So friendships are a powerful thing when there's that connection. And so, for example, in Deuteronomy 13, verse 6, I'll skip a few words in here, but the sentiment will be the same. If your closest friend, and literally that says your friend who is as your own soul. So maybe that's where the term soulmate comes from, So if your closest friend secretly entices you saying, let's go worship other gods, do not yield to them or listen to them. So there's that danger in there to go, for a friend to lead you astray.
Yeah.
Now it may not be to worship Baal as it was in Deuteronomy, but it could be to worship, getting drunk or having sex or being rude to other groups of friends or being gossipy. Don't yield to them or listen to them. There's a point where you need to not let your friendship take you away from living to please God.
Yeah, and Proverbs brings that out as well in 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so I think it is important to recognize in friendship that the people you're close to have an impact on you. Like you pick up phrases even with the people you hang out the most with, you kind of start to become a little bit like them. So, you know, my friendship with Josh, I've started saying yeet in sentences. Simon. And that's Simon. Not something I did at all before I knew Josh. And so, you know, it's a silly example, but it's a real thing that those people that you're really close to do have an impact on you and how you think. And so we need to be thoughtful and careful about how close we are to people and what impact that they'll have on us and our faith especially.
Yep. And even good friends will let you down because you're sinful, I'm sinful, your friend is sinful. And we're not going to love consistently. Mm. We're not going to be a friend who loves at all times. There'll be times where we either let people down or we even betray our friends. So, you know, the ultimate example is Judas, you know, one of Jesus' 12.
Yeah, close friends. Yeah. Hey.
And Jesus actually says when at the point of betrayal in the Garden of on the Mount of Olives, Jesus says to Judas, "Do what you came for, friend." And so then he comes, you know, Judas comes with a kiss of friendship, but that's the signal for Jesus to be arrested.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's Jesus being betrayed by a friend. And so that can happen in friendships as well. Mm. And that's part of our sinful world, sadly.
Mm. Yeah. There's this Christian author who writes really beautifully called Henri Nouwen. He probably talk a bit about him next week because we're looking at singleness and it kind of is a little bit linked. But he has this wonderful quote about kind of that idolization of either romantic relationships or friendships to be kind of our ultimate satisfying thing. He says, "No friend or lover, nor husband or wife or community or commune will be able to put to rest our deepest cravings for unity and wholeness. And by burdening others with those divine expectations of which we ourselves are only partially aware, we might inhibit the expression of free friendship and invoke instead feelings of inadequacy and weakness. It's sad to see how sometimes people suffering from loneliness search for a final solution for their pains and look to a new friend, a new lover, or a new community with messianic expectations."
So sum that up for us, Simon.
So basically, we have this desire to be kind of known and fulfilled and loved, and that is really deep and deep-seated, but we can often misplace the ultimate fulfillment of that desire, and that is actually found in Jesus. And so no single other relationship can bear under the weight of us trying to fulfill these desires for wholeness that you can really ultimately only find in Jesus.
And that's the amazing thing about Jesus is he is willing to call us his friends.
Mm.
And so he says in John 15, talking to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So there's an obligation there with friendship with Jesus. We are to, just like Jonathan committed his loyalty to King David, we need to commit our loyalty to King Jesus.
Mm.
But then he says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends.
Mm.
For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you."
Mm.
So Jesus is willing to divulge all the wonders of God the Father to his friends.
Yeah.
And he's done that to us.
Mm.
And of course, Jesus does an amazing act of love for his friends. It says in the verse before, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends."
Mm.
And that's what Jesus does. He lays down his life for us, his friends, so that we can be his friends and be reconciled to God the Father.
Mm.
And so that's where our ultimate longing for intimacy and relationship and being known and being able to serve the other as well finds its ultimate fulfillment.
Yeah.
And so we can't lay that on our human friendships.
Yeah.
But we can transplant that into our human friendships as well. We can kind of see our relation, what Jesus has done for us, and then take that as an example of self-sacrificial friendships.
Yeah, it's kind of, friendship is kind of a real life, beautiful, practical example that helps us understand our relationship with God in some ways. Like sometimes my closest friends and the things that they've done have helped me understand what it means for God to love us more. So, you know, the love of God friendship has helped me understand that better and have a fuller and richer picture. And it's a beautiful blessing from God that he gives us other people to be close to and to help us and help point us to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a real practical way that God has shown his love for us in these relationships. We just have to not then kind of flip that around the other way and make the relationships our God, because that's when things are dangerous.
Yeah, because from Proverbs, Jesus is the friend who loves at all times. So he's the one we can ultimately depend on. But as we follow him, as we live for him, then we should strive to be the friend who loves at all times as well.
Yeah. So let's be different in the society from everyone else, as we should be as Christians. And value friendship, work on friendship, reclaim intimacy as something that is good for all kinds of relationships and not just romantic ones. But ultimately, point each other to Jesus and remember that he is the one true friend that will fulfill all of our needs to be known and loved and cared for.
Okay, so as a friend is to love at all times, that includes through a game of Bible trivia, time for blank space.
Even when they're losing terribly.
How terribly, I hear you all ask? Well, I'm on 7, Simon is on 2.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to mix it up today.
Mm.
This is Simon's desperate attempt to get a run on things. You're going to ask me 2 questions.
Yeah, we're going to do 2 back to back. Just because when we play the game, I get multiple questions back to back and I kind of do okay. So hopefully, maybe this will do something.
Look, the proof is in the pudding.
We'll find out. So we're back to events and places.
Events and places. Okay.
And so here is your first events and places question, Anton.
Mm-hmm.
What was the origin of the locusts which tortured mankind for 5 months in John's vision?
John's vision. So I'm assuming this is Revelation. I don't quite remember locusts in Revelation. Where do they come from? They came from the dragon.
No, they came from the abyss.
Oh, the abyss.
Look,
was he a dragon in the abyss?
I had no clue what that was about either. No. I don't even remember locusts being in Revelation.
What?
Revelation 9, verses 2 and 3.
Great.
Locusts came from the abyss.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay, Simon,
we both learned something from that
one.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, second question.
At what mountain did Moses encounter the burning bush?
I've got 2 mountains in my head.
Mm.
I've got Sinai and I've got Nebo. So I'm trying to remember, is it Sinai? Because that was also where the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. So was it the same mountain? Oh, I'm going to get the wrong one. I'm going with Sinai.
Horeb.
Oh, Horeb. Oh, I should have known that.
I was watching you struggle with 2 that were both incorrect answers. But it does feel like a little bit of a trick question. Because in my head, Mount Sinai is kind of where he goes back to. But I think maybe that's because the Prince of Egypt movie is in my head and I feel like there's some sort of connection in it.
I don't know. Oh, well. Mount Sinai is a long way from Egypt, so we must have fled a long way anyway.
Yeah.
What was it? Horeb.
Mount Horeb.
Mm, yes. Okay. Well, it's working, Simon. No points for me today.
Let's see if back-to-back is good for me as well.
Okay. Where was Abner, Saul's army commander, buried?
Oh. I don't know if this round will go well for me either. Look, I've read 1 Samuel recently, but there's just so many different places where people are buried. Abner. The only place name sticking in my head is Horeb right now, which is what we just said where the burning bush was. I'm going to say Jerusalem.
Well, your difficulty started because it's in 2 Samuel, not 1 Samuel. Hebron.
Hebron. Hey, it started with an H.
I thought maybe that's why
Horeb was in my head.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of Old Testament stuff. Okay, next question. This is another Old Testament one. Where did Moses hide the Egyptian whom he killed?
Ooh, another Moses-y question.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie can't help me here because he doesn't hide the man in the movie. He just pushes him off
down
the scaffolding.
Yeah.
So I don't actually remember. I'm going to guess in the reeds.
Oh, that was...
No, can I think I know what it is. Is it in a well?
Oh, it's both wrong. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
It's in the sand.
Ah, damn it. I should have just said in the sand.
Well, yeah, then you would have been right.
I know. Would have been much better. And it also was the other answer that was in my head.
Okay. Apart from Reed and Wells.
I don't know why I suddenly thought it was a well.
Well, great thought, Simon, to do two questions in a row.
Yeah, back to back worked really well for
zero
both of us.
What an exhilarating round of blank
space. Look, better for me. At least the gap didn't widen.
That is one way to take consolation.
Oh, well, that was a... I think we both need to go back and read Exodus again. They were almost all Exodus questions.
Yep. Well, there we go. There's another episode of the 645 pod. It's great that you've tuned in. And next week, we are moving straight on to...
We're looking at singleness. So kind of a little bit linked with friendship. Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting about that too.
How to live for God in singleness. Mm. But also if you're not single, if you're married.
Yeah. Nice.
It's really helpful to think about what singleness means as well.
Yeah.
Do subscribe so you don't miss an episode to the 645 pod. Feel free to get in touch, ask questions, or just say hi, say what you've been encouraged by. That would be a lovely thing.
Yeah.
And we will see you either at church online, go to christchurch.com.au, or back on the 645 pod next time.
Yeah. So I think I said I had a vibe that maybe Sinai and Horeb might have been the same mountain. And we finished recording this episode and we went, let's check that. What did we find?
Well, so like in the New Bible Dictionary, for example, looking up Mount Sinai is also called Horeb in the Old Testament.
Mm.
And so hence the...
Yeah, the kneeling thought in my head.
In my head too, you know. Hence I said Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
But Wikipedia is a bit...
So Wikipedia says John Calvin says they're the same thing.
He's a smart guy.
He is a smart guy. I mean, you did go to more college, so they do like John Calvin there.
Because he's a smart guy.
So I think maybe it's not necessarily 100% certain that it's true, but I think a lot of scholars have a vibe that they are, in fact... the same place.
Yes. So I'm happy not to take the points because the answer in the book was Horeb. But I may have still been right and I will take comfort in
that. All right. The Lord will give you the extra point in heaven.
Yes. Extra Jesus points. Nice. Cool. All right. See you next time.
Bye.